Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I am excited this morning. I'm excited every Sunday morning. Me and one other. No, that caught you. Are you excited? All right. Very good. I'm reminded as we begin the life of Moses, God's going to do great things among Israel and in the life of Moses. The reason I'm excited this morning is because God's going to do great things among us. Not just today, but I believe He's going to do great things today, but in the days that lie ahead. And I'm excited. Let's stand as we look to the Word of God. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good land, large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I certainly will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Indeed. When I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Again, let us pray. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. As I said, God is preparing to do great things for the nation of Israel and in the life of Moses. And for the last 400 years, the children of Israel has been serving as slaves of the Egyptians. Now, we just finished the study last week on the life of Joseph, and we passed by Joseph is gone, and they now have Pharaoh. It's 400 years later, and Pharaoh no longer knows who Joseph is, and so things are horrible for the children of Israel. And the amazing, wonderful thing that God is about to do for them is He's going to bring them out of the Egyptian bondage. The problem with Israel is this. They don't know how to be blessed. Do you know how to be blessed? I mean, do you know? I mean, think about the question. Do you know how to be blessed? Yeah. For example, do you complain a lot? Challenge. You ready? As you interact with people today, both here and outside, and make the comment to them, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? And see how long it takes before someone says, yes, but it's supposed to rain tomorrow. Have you ever noticed that? How quickly we go negative, even when everybody around us is trying to be positive. And it's because we don't know how to be blessed. Much like the children of Israel, God wants to lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they're going to whine, cry, and complain every step of the way. So the idea of this message is to begin to prepare us to be blessed. And it begins with a call, the call of God. And we look at the man that God called. Moses. And every aspect of the life, the early years of Moses, God's hand of protection was upon him. You see, it starts as in chapter 1 as Israel begins to flourish. And they grew in number exceedingly, so much so that they began to outnumber the Egyptians. And for the Egyptians, this was a problem. You see, they hated Israel. The only reason they wanted to keep them around was free labor. And so, in an effort to try to control the population of Israel, Pharaoh ordered that the midwives of Israel were to kill every newborn male baby. But you know what? The midwives didn't do that. Pharaoh finally, figuring out that the midwives were not going to do that, Pharaoh ordered that every male child of Israel would be cast into the river and killed. And it was at that time that this man Moses was born. Or this infant Moses was born. After Moses was born, it says his mother looked at him and saw he was a good child. Aren't all babies good? I want to tell you, you know, you just look at him and you just say, oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, Moses' mom knew there was something extra special about this child for some reason. And for 3 months, she hid him from everyone. And when it came to the point that she could no longer hide him, she did cast him into the river. However, she built a little ark of bulrushes, the Bible says, put him in the river, and then let him go that way. She didn't just throw him in. By accident, he landed on that ark that his mom had made, right? But you see God's hand every step of the way in the life of Moses, because Moses in that river was discovered, it says, by the daughter of Pharaoh. And she looked and saw this young Hebrew boy, and her heart was immediately captured. And being immediately captured, she wanted to preserve this young Hebrew. And so, of course, Moses' sister was watching from a distance, and when she sees Pharaoh's daughter take Moses out of the river, she runs up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, hey, how about if I call a Hebrew lady to nurse this child for you? Pharaoh's daughter says, that's a wonderful idea. And guess what Moses' sister did? Went and got his mom. Brought his mom. And Pharaoh's daughter said, you nurse the child and bring him up, and I'll give you your wages. Isn't that cool? I mean, she was paid to be the mother that she was. Doesn't God work amazing things? And so, of course, after Moses became of age, Moses' mom brings her back to Pharaoh's daughter, and he's raised in the house of Pharaoh. But what I want you to get is that every step of the way, God was preserving Moses because he had a special plan for him. And what I want you to stop and think as you prepare to be blessed, I want you to stop and think you are not here by accident. You are where you are because God has preserved you throughout the years. mean, there are some of us here that can look back and we realize, no, maybe I should say all of us can look back and realize that we are here but by the grace of God alone. And as such, God has a plan. It's a great plan. It's a plan that for some it's unfolding in your lives right now. For some, you haven't gotten there yet. But I want you to just stop and realize God has you here for a reason. There is a purpose behind your life. First, we looked at God's protection. Then I want to take a look at Moses' plan. You see, when Moses was grown up, and he's in the house of Pharaoh, and he goes out and he finds an Egyptian beating a Hebrew brother. And as he sees this, he looks around and he says, nobody's watching. So he catches the Egyptian and he kills him. And the next day, Moses, thinking that no one knew, he goes out again among his Israeli brothers, and he sees two Hebrews fighting, and he backs up and says, guys, y'all are two Hebrews, you're brethren, why are you fighting? And one of the Hebrews backed up and said, hey, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And immediately Moses was struck with fear. And Moses has to run for his life because, of course, Pharaoh knows and has found out about it. But what I want to point out to you is that even in God's plan, it wasn't time for Moses to take the children of Israel out of bondage yet. You see, in Acts chapter 7, verse 23, we find out what Moses was thinking when he killed that Egyptian. Acts chapter 27, verse 23 says, now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. And look, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. But they did not understand. You know what happened? Yes, Moses had been preserved by God. And Moses knew from the very beginning that God had a plan, a mission in his life. And so Moses decides at this point in his life, I'm going to take it into my own hands and I'm going to get her done. Right? I'm going to get with it and I'm going to deliver my brethren out of Egyptian bondage. The problem was he was ahead of God. And being ahead of God never works. You see, you've got to be sure you're on God's timetable. Let me ask you, have you ever gotten ahead of God? You know, those times when you're not satisfied, you're not happy, and you don't like this, you don't like that, and you just bow up and you say, I'm going to do something about it. You better pray first. You better bring it to God first. You better seek God and make sure that God has said, yes, it is time. I've discovered something very important in ministry. If I just keep my cool and watch for God to take care of things, He usually takes care of things. And when He doesn't take care of things the way I think they should be, which is quite often, but when he doesn't work, I discover down the line that God had it all under control from the very beginning. And He didn't need my help. All right? You see, that's what happens. Just because we're not happy where we are does not mean, okay, God, we got to go now. All right? So, to prepare you to be blessed, number one, you understand God has you here for a reason. Number two, you understand you've got to get with God's program on God's timetable. Okay? Are you with me? Say amen. All right, let's go on to the mission that God has called you to. In that mission, the life of Moses, he's fled. And he becomes basically a spectator as he's in the, as he fled from Pharaoh, he goes out into the wilderness and he's taken in by the priest of Midian. His name is Raul. He marries Raul's daughter and they have two children. And he spends the next 40 years as a shepherd with absolutely no ambition or no desire to do anything but be a shepherd. And one day, Moses is tending his flock near the mountain of God. And an angel appeared in a burning bush. As a flame of fire, it says, in a bush. And the bush was not consumed. And this is a sight. Moses looks and he says, man, I've got to see this. You ever had that moment? I've got to see this moment. That's what Moses had. So he goes up to the mountain of God. He turns aside to see this bush. And the reason that it's not being burned up, it's something he's never seen before. He goes as a spectator. Just to see what's going on. But you know what's funny? You can't be a spectator forever. Because when the time's right, God's going to call. And when God calls, understand it's time to get involved. Okay? You see, that's where we come to the surprise. God called Moses out of the burning bush. Can you imagine? What would you have done? Moses, I'm not sure I would have approached that burning bush to begin with, right? You've got to give him credit for being brave. He approaches that burning bush and the voice of God comes out of that burning bush. Moses, Moses. Moses said, here am I. Behold, here am I. Moses, take the shoes off your feet, for the ground whereon you stand is holy ground. I love that part because it reminds me of the reverence that's appropriate when I'm addressing God. Then it goes on. I'm the God of your fathers, the Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses, I've seen the oppression of my people. Moses, I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sorrow. I've come to deliver them. I will send you. Wait a minute. Are you with me? Everybody listening. Do you see the progression? Moses took, you know, he got ahead of God. Now he's backed up. And it's God's time. And now Moses is not ready. Did you notice that? As a matter of fact, this catches God off, or this catches Moses completely off guard. I can just see him as Moses said, as God says, Moses, and Moses says, here I am, God. And God said, I am God. Moses said, yes, I've wanted to hear from you forever. Moses, and God says, I've seen the oppression of my people. Moses says, yes, you're a God that knows it all. God says, I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Moses says, yes, Lord, their suffering. God says, I know their sorrow. Moses said, yes, God, I'm glad. God says, Moses, I'm here to deliver them. Moses said, hooray, I wanted to do it 40 years ago. And God says, I'm going to send you, Moses. And Moses said, huh? Me? Yes, you, Moses. Oh, no, not me. Surely there's a mistake. It can't be me. See, what I want you to understand at this point is, yeah, you can't get ahead of God. But when God's ready to go, it's time to go. Does that make sense? And don't be surprised when God says, you. You. You see, that's what most people, we come to church and we sing and we have a good time and worshiping and praising God, and you really bless me by giving me the opportunity to preach to you each week. But I want to tell you, that's just the spectator part of it. God has you here for a reason, and God will at some point in your life say, it's you. I have a mission. It's you. You're the one. that I choose. You see, too many people never get that personal with God. You know why Christianity becomes stale? Because we never, or we have Christians, well, we have churches for that matter, who never get on board with the mission. When God says, you, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm calling you. And we say, God, yes, do it, but use somebody else. Use somebody else. I want to tell you something. God has a mission for you. Do you realize that? God has a mission for this church. Oh boy, I've been waiting for this the whole message. I'm excited. I said that from the beginning today, didn't I? You know one of the reasons I'm excited? Because God has given me the privilege of seeing some future building plans. You see, right now, some of you are doing that. What, God? We got to review some preliminary conceptual drawings last week. Did you know that we're looking at doing some remodeling in the near future? Did you know that? As a matter of fact, the building in between the fellowship hall and this, the hope is, the desire is to just completely rework that. And it's exciting. The more I looked at the plans, the more excited I became. You say, you know, there's always somebody saying, well, why do we need to do that? I'm glad you asked. Because we have a senior Sunday school class right out there who can't get any more seniors in there. Isn't that cool? You say, if you say, my brother Doug, you said a while ago, don't get ahead of God. That's right. Don't get ahead of God. Look at what He's doing. Get on board with God. He's filled up that senior's class. They need a new place to have Bible study on Sunday morning. I think that's a wonderful problem to have. I'm excited about that. They're not the only class that's busting at the seams. And part of this remodel is going to have some new Sunday school space, Bible study space, and give us room to grow. And not only that, everything preschool is going to be in one section of the building. Isn't that cool? When people walk in and you have preschool kids, you say, okay, we take them to this area. And Brother Doug, do we have that many preschoolers? Let me tell you something else that's exciting. On Mother's Day, we're planning a baby dedication. Okay? And this baby dedication, children 2 years old and under, we're just going to have a time of prayer and dedication for the parents and for the baby. All right? But you know how many of those little rascals we've had within the last 2 years? The last count was 17. And I'm not sure. Well, and I'm pretty sure that doesn't cover them all. Okay? Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? Guess what? Need a place to put those little rascals. That's why we're doing this preschool expansion and putting everything right in one spot. Going to remodel and redo some office space. Why do we need to redo that? Well, it'll just be great to be able to heat and cool, 1,000 square feet instead of 6,000 square feet all week. But I'm excited. You say, Brother Doug, where are you going to get the money? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. So cool. Guess what? God says, I'm fixing to do a building program. Guess what He says next? I choose you. He's going to use us. He's going to use us. Okay? That's you. That's me. That's all of us. I knew that preacher would preach on money one of these days. No, I'm not preaching on money. I'm preaching on an opportunity for you to be blessed. Okay? For you to get on board with God. And I want to tell you, I just wanted to introduce this to you today. You're going to see some in the near future. within the next few weeks, you're going to get to see some hardcore plans and a hardcore schedule. And I want you to be as excited as I am. Oh, listen, my friends. I love to see what God's doing at Victory Baptist Church. Don't you? I want to be sure we're on board with what God's doing. That we're not part of that generation. You know, who, me? Yes, me. And I'll tell you something. Money's no problem for God. Say, I've heard that all my life, Brother Doug. That's right. God's got the money. And I'm going to leave it to Him as to how He's going to provide it. But I do know He's going to provide it through me and through you. And He's calling us to get on board with His plan. Brother Doug, are you sure? Yes, I am. Don't know what else to, you know, don't know how else to say. Yes, I am. It's time to move and get on board with God. But not just as a church, okay? As an individual. Are you seeing the power of God in your life? If you're not, it's probably because you're not doing anything. It's probably because there's no mission. There's no goal. You're like Moses in the desert. You know, I'm happy just being a shepherd. Well, good. But God had bigger plans. Oh, listen. God has kept you through all these years so that He could use you. Are you on board with God's plan? Then we get to the mindset in closing. Well, almost closing. You gotta love Moses' response when God said, I'm sending you. Moses says, Lord, who am I? Who am I? You know what he's saying when he says that? He's saying, God, 40 years ago I tried this. It didn't work. And Lord, I don't want to do it again. Lord, who am I? What authority? What power do I have to accomplish such a task? You see, Moses, it's different this time. Look at verse 12. God says to Moses, I will certainly be with you. You see, here's what I want you to understand. You can back up and you say, who am I? I can't do this. Lord, I can't. This thing you're calling me to do, I can't do it. You're right, you can't. But you know the difference between success and failure is verse 12. When God says, I will certainly be with you. That's the difference. If God's in it, it's success. If God's not, it will not be successful. Whatever it is that you're doing. I love the way God presents that. That word certainly is emphatic. And it's like me saying you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I will be there. Okay? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you don't have to worry. I'm going to be there. That's what God's saying to Moses. Moses, you didn't have that 40 years before. I want to tell you, there are people still hanging on to past failures and won't move on. Okay? Well, I tried that. Have you ever heard people say, well, I tried that back 40 years ago and it didn't work. I went to church 40 years ago and they hurt me, so I'm still not going to church. Oh, get over it. Come on. Oh, I tried to lead the church to do something and they wouldn't follow. Well, get over it. Now, just be sure to know that the power's not your own. See, Moses is not going to lead this 3 million plus people out of Egypt. God's going to do it using Moses. The mission that God calls you to, whether it be a missionary, whether it be a part of this building ministry that I'm talking about, whatever God calls us to do, it's not going to be by our power, it's going to be by His. And then Moses asked a very important question. Not only who am I, but God, who are you? When I come to them and I say, the God of your fathers has told me to come and bring you out of bondage, they're going to say, what's His name? God, what do I tell them? Oh, you got to love this. God says, you tell them, I am sent you. You know what that means? Just what it says. I am. And you can fill in the blank beyond that, you know, with whatever you want to. I am. Who was there? Creation? I am. God. God was there. Who created? God. Who was there when Abraham was called into the land of Canaan? God, the I Am. He was there. You know, we just finished the study of Joseph and how God ordered his life to deliver the children of Israel from starvation. It was the same God. And now God says, I'm getting ready to do something awesome again. And when they say, who sent you? You tell them, I Am has sent you. You see, he's placing it out there where he's giving Moses a complete confidence in the ability and power of Almighty God. Hearing this, Moses should have a determination such as never before. That when he goes, realizing, I'm not going of myself, I'm going by God. Anything that happens will be because God does it. So I don't have to worry about my own failure. You see, when you answer God's call, I want you to realize today that it's not a small thing. It's a big deal. Because you are backed by the armies of heaven. God has a plan for you. Are you in line with that plan? I'm not saying, are you doing what you want to do? I'm not saying, are you happy? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, it's God's job to make me happy. You know, if you're not happy, you're probably not on board with God. Right? Listen. God has a plan. Where do you fit in? And are you part of that? Are you building your life on that plan? Begins with salvation. Are you a child of God? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? Oh, Brother Doug, you know, one of these days I'm going to... life's not going to be right till you get with the program. Okay? There is a heaven, there is a hell. You'll spend eternity in one of those two places. Have you called upon the name of Jesus to be your Savior? If not, would you come in this invitation? Maybe you're here today and you've been one of those sitting around watching the sheep forever. The last 40 years, you're not doing a lot. You just kind of taking life as it comes. Time to get back with the mission, the reason that God put you here. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're a children's church director. Maybe you're a children's choir director, a children's ministry something. Maybe God's calling you to preach. You can put God off as long as you want to, but I can promise you this, you'll never be happy. You'll never have joy as long as you put God off. Today's the day of renewed commitment. Today's the day that we as a church say, yes, Lord, we want to see you do great things. Yes, Lord, we want to be part of your greatness. So I want to challenge all of us in this invitation to a renewed commitment of faithfulness in every aspect in our lives and say, Lord, you lead. We'll follow. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you're bestowing upon Victory. We thank you, Lord, that is by your power that we see your greatness, and that we see success and joy and Lord, just the joys of ministry. We know it's not of ourselves, but it's all because of you. So Lord, now as we come to this invitation, I pray that you'd move among us. For those of us who've become lax, for those of us who've become stale and stagnant, Lord, help us to throw that off and to recommit ourselves to the mission you've called us to. To making disciples, to winning the lost, to seeing you move in a mighty way. Lord, today we submit ourselves to you. And we pray these things for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.